That in 2 weeks on Sunday, February 5th, is our annual business meeting. After the service, we will be having a soup lunch downstairs and our business meeting at 1. We also will be receiving the Super Bowl of Caring that day, which is when our mission board members stand at the doors and ask for your donations of $1 or more to go to that. And that money stays locally. Marilyn, I believe we voted on Bread of Life. Bread of Life it is an anti-hunger project, and so therefore our money will be going to Bread of Life again this year to help with their ministry. But that's in 2 weeks. We are continuing to receive gifts to the retired ministers and missionaries offering, and that's what the video will be about in a few moments, we'll see. There also is an insert in your bulletin today that talks a little bit more about the RMMO, and would like a special offering envelope, there are some there by the door if you'd like to give a special gift to the retired ministers and missionaries offer. Okay, at this time I'm going to turn in the hymnal to selection number 98 for our responsive call to worship. So let us read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot slip.
He who watches over you will not slumber.
Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord watches over you.
The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life.
The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Our opening hymn this morning is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, number 96 in the hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Guide me, O Thou great Jehovah, hear
Let's pray together. God, our guide and our protector, as we gather today, open our minds, our souls, and hearts, that we may be inclined to hear the gentle direction of your Spirit in our lives. Help us to follow you as you lead us to the place that you have created for us. Forgive us where we have fallen short of your will for us. Renew our troubled spirits with the assurance of your love and mercy. We ask this in the name of Jesus, and now pray as we taught, as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning is about our retired ministers and missionaries offering. And I was looking at the insert that's in the bulletin today, and the last paragraph on the side that doesn't say when we're receiving the offering says that your generosity is a source of inspiration, an example of the gratitude that flows from our abiding faith in God. I think this is a wonderful video as an example of some of our American Baptist retirees and how important being remembered is to them.
Jesus came physically to this earth to be with us. He wanted to be among us, a part of us. And when we think about the retired minister and missionary offering, this is a community. And when we contribute to that offering, we're helping them.
Grace is a main issue of the whole my life, you know, the grace of God. By grace you have received, by grace you should give.
A member of the historic Second Baptist Church in Detroit, Dolly Hillman served for years as a missionary in Nigeria and Haiti.
One of the things that happens to you in retirement is that you feel more or less forgotten, sort of useless. So when that check comes, it reminds me, oh, well, I'm not forgotten after all. Those years that I spent in service have not been spent in vain.
Reverend Doug Merchant served several congregations in New York State, working to heal the sense of disconnection that he experienced into the different ethnic groups and social classes in those communities.
It was about 5 years ago that I realized that my vision was changing, that I noticed that when I looked at the white lines on the road, that they were rippling.
Reverend Merchant's doctor told him he had the beginnings of macular degeneration, an incurable eye disease that leads to blurry vision or a complete loss of sight in the center of your field of vision.
It does drive me crazy sometimes because I just like to sit in my chair with a book and read it.
The RMMO offering helped the Merchants purchase a special machine that enables Doug Merchant to read once again.
We are so thankful for the technology that's out there that allows him to be able to read and to see something.
The difference this makes in my life to have this machine is to be able to still read letters from my friends, to be able to read poetry, which I like to read a lot.
Pastor Garcia Garcia is still active in his retirement, training lay pastors in the San Joaquin Valley of California, and often uses his RMMO offering to serve others.
It's a great blessing. I use it in the best way that I can to continue serving and helping people, whatever. I don't keep the money. I use it to give to somebody, you know, that is in need, because this is my love for them. Yeah.
The RMMO is very important. What I can do, either as a retired missionary or as a recipient of it, is I can contribute to it to try to keep that going, because it's dynamic. There's nothing like having somebody alongside you.
I've received a lot, and it's all I know by the grace of God. The more you give, the more you get. It's through God.
Gracious God, we thank you for those men and women who have been instrumental in our lives and those who have ministered to others, sometimes around the world, people who we've never met. But yet, Lord, they heard your call to service and have ministered in your name. Lord, we just pray that as we give our gifts this month and we reflect on our spiritual leaders, that they may sense our prayers and our gratitude for all that they have done in our lives. We ask that you would bless our time together. We ask that you would bless our gifts to this special offering. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. We have an opportunity now to share celebrations and concerns as we go to time of prayer. We want to keep May Upperman in prayer. May's not been able to be here in many, many months. She continues to be at home. And we'll keep Paul Patry, as Paul has retired now and is undergoing some intensive physical therapy. We want to keep Paul in prayer during this time. We also want to keep our nation in prayer, and also our new president in prayer, and also the protesters. And just, you know, keep our nation in prayer at this time. Take time to transition, but, you know, just keep that in prayer. Do you have any requests for prayer this morning, either concerns or celebrations? Yes, good to have you here today.
Thank you. Cameroon is going under a lot of unrest. In the English-speaking parts of the country, there's been massive army deployment, killings, raids, torture, and so forth.
So we want to keep your data plan in Cameroon.
Tomorrow they have strikes on those towns, they call it. So everything is shut up for the next 3 days.
So we want to keep all that strength up here. You know, we've had a transition of power, which has gone pretty calmly, peacefully, compared to, you know, when we hear other nations that aren't even changing power necessarily, but just have uprisings and riots and bloodshed. And so we want to keep the folks of Cameroon in prayer today. They also have a prayer request. Richard?
We need to pray for Dottie Lattis. She hurt her back this week, and she's recovering, but slowly.
Right. Dottie went to be at feeding ministry on Friday, so we
Thank you.
Want to keep Dottie in prayer. Anybody else have a request? No, then let's go to God. If you have some of these requests or something that's on your heart, let's pray together. We thank you for the opportunity of coming together to worship this day. And Lord, we just pray that our silent and corporate prayers will be received by you. And we pray, Lord, that all that we pray may be according to your will for our lives and for the will of for our world. And Lord, this day we do lift up those who are ill and injured, those who are awaiting test results, are undergoing tests and treatments. And just, Lord, pray that they may not lose hope, that they may, you know, feel your spirit with them, a spirit of comfort, a spirit of peace and encouragement. And Lord, if there's some way that we can reach out to those who are hurting today and just let them know that we are caring about them and loving them. And if there's some tangible way that we can reach out, Lord, help us to find that and help us to do that, empower us to do that. Lord, we also pray for those who are in mourning today, who have lost a loved one. And Lord, just pray that your comfort, your spirit of comfort and peace may also be with them today. Lord, we also lift up our nation as we have gone through a transition of power. And Lord, we just pray for our new president, President Trump, and his new administration. And Lord, while there's always differences of opinion among voters, we just pray, Lord, that he may be successful, that our nation may continue to be a nation who has the freedoms that so many people have fought and died for over the years. And Lord, we also pray for the protesters that are out, not only in our nation, but around the world. And just we thank you for that privilege that so many people do have of being able to state, in the freedom of speech, to state their opinions. But Lord, we just continue to pray that they may be peaceful demonstrations and not with any force or any violence. Lord, as Abraham has mentioned, we just pray for the people of Cameroon. We pray for other nations that do not know the peace that we have in our nation. We just pray for those areas where it is dangerous to live, where there is violence, where there is bloodshed. And just pray, Lord, that as Christ came as the Prince of Peace, we pray that that kind of peace that Christ said that isn't something that we can generate on our own. It's only a kind of peace that you can bring. That kind of peace may come to our world. Lord, we remember our retired ministers and missionaries today and lift them up in prayer and help them to know that they are not forgotten. We do continue to remember them, even in their retirement. We are grateful for their ministry among us and among others. And Lord, we just now offer all of these things to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We've read scripture together this morning. We've sung. We've prayed. We've had an opportunity to continue worshiping by offering our tithes and our gifts as the ushers receive the morning offering.
Feel the feet of this bread.
to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Dorothy Berry is going to read scripture today.
This morning's scripture lesson will be taken from Luke, Gospel chapter 2, reading from verses 22 to verse 40. Jesus is presented in the temple. The time came for Joseph and Mary to perform the ceremony of purification as the law of Moses commanded. So they took the child to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male to be dedicated to the Lord. They also went to offer a sacrifice of a pair of doves or two young pigeons, as required by the law of the Lord. At that time, there was a man named Simeon living in Jerusalem. He was a good, God-fearing man and was waiting for Israel to be saved. The Holy Spirit was with him and had assured him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's promised Messiah. Led by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple. When the parents brought the child Jesus into the temple to do for him what the law required, Simeon took the child in his arms and gave thanks to God. Now, Lord, you have kept your promise, and you may let your servant go in peace. With my own eyes, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. A light to reveal your will to the Gentiles and bring glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother were amazed at the things Simeon said about him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is chosen by God for the destruction and the salvation of many in Israel. He will be a sign from God, which many people will speak against, and so reveal their secret thoughts. And sorrow, like a sharp sword, will break your own heart." There was a very old prophetess, a widow named Anna, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She had been married for only 7 years and was now 84 years old. She never left the temple day and night. She worshiped God, fasting and praying. That very same hour, she arrived and gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were waiting for God to set Jerusalem free. When Joseph and Mary had finished doing all that was required by the law of the Lord, they returned to their home town of Nazareth in Galilee. The child grew and became strong. He was full of wisdom, and God's blessings were upon him. Glory be to God. May the Lord add his blessings to these most holy words.
Thank you, Dorothy. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words of Scripture this morning about the infant Jesus and what his parents were doing for him, Lord, we just pray that we might be like Simeon and Anna, who were at the temple that day and recognized Jesus, not because of what he was wearing or what he was saying or doing, but just from your spirit, recognize that who he was and praise you for that. Lord, we pray that we too may seek you out in our daily living, and that we may give you homage and we may praise you all the days of our lives. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. If you're familiar with your Bible at all, you know that we have four Gospels in our Bible. And sometimes we argue, we question, well, why does it take four to tell the same story? But they come from different viewpoints. And we've been talking about that in Bible study for a while now. But yet none of the four Gospels tell us much about Jesus' early life, his life as a child. We get this image as a baby. Then we get it when he's 12 years old. And then again, he bursts on the scene when he's baptized at about the age of 30. Well, what happened in between all those years? And in the first couple centuries of the Christianity, there were those that tried to fill in those blanks with different stories and different gospel accounts. You know, we have four gospels in our Bible, but there were many other gospel writings, and they tried to fill in the blanks and gave some miraculous encounters of Jesus as a child, which I'm not going to get into today. They aren't included in our Bible, but those are some interesting things if you want to look them up online. But we have Matthew and we have Luke, and they're the only two Gospels that we have in our Bible that mention Jesus' life before the age of 30. And their descriptions are sparse, as I mentioned. There's not much there. But we do know that what life was like around, we don't know what life was like around the carpenter shop in Nazareth, or who Jesus' playmates were. In fact, the Gospels seem to be more interested in telling us about the reactions of those who encountered the boy Jesus than in describing his childhood. And even those recorded reactions are surprisingly few and far between. Just think about it for a moment. There were potentially hundreds of people, probably who met Jesus before he started his public ministry. And yet only a handful ever knew that that he was the one they encountered, and that he was the Son of God. On the night that Jesus was born, Bethlehem was packed with people who had gathered for the census. Yet it was only the common, unrefined, and probably irreligious shepherds who saw the angel chorus and went and paid homage to the baby. The wise men could not have been the only people who saw the star in the sky that heralded Jesus' birth. Yet these foreigners were the ones who recognized it as a sign from God that a new King of Kings had been born. The temple surely was crowded when Mary and Joseph brought their infant son for dedication in today's scripture. Yet it was only Simeon and Anna who recognized him as the Messiah, that one who had been promised by God, whom the Jews had been waiting for generations. They recognized this infant as that fulfillment. These biblical events make us, living scores of generations later, wonder how many people today encounter Christ right before their eyes, but do not recognize him in the midst of the commonplace experiences of life. Simeon and Anna looked at a baby boy in the arms of a poor couple from a small town and saw the ruler of creation. They can give us guidance as we look for the Holy One in the events of our lives. Simeon and Anna belonged to a group of people who lived near the temple in Jerusalem. Like many others of their day, they were hoping that God would send someone to reestablish the triumphant days of King David and his kingdom, when Israel was among the greatest of all the nations. They were not religious professionals like the priests and the scribes who made their living performing rituals and teaching scripture to devout Jews. Simeon and Anna were not rich as far as worldly standards go. They would be considered poor. They probably had little formal education. They stayed around the temple so they could worship every time the doors were open. They passed their days watching the people come and go, talking about religion with anyone who would take the time, doing chores for the priests, and perhaps doing a little begging on the side to help make ends meet. Simeon and Anna had seen many people go in and out of the temple gates. Anna, scripture tells us, was 84. She had lived around the temple ever since she was widowed at a young age. Simeon was no youngster either, but he was convinced that God was going to send the Messiah before he died. Simeon and Anna were the sort of people who blended in with the landscape of the temple, the ones an average visitor would barely notice while hurrying by on the way to the important business that lay inside the sanctuary. There was nothing unusual about Mary and Joseph and the baby. Nothing special that would have made anyone notice them out of all the other faithful ones that came to the temple that day. But something inside Simeon and Anna told them that this was no ordinary family. Something told them that here was the one for whom they had been watching all these years. How did they know? At least the shepherds had heard angels, and the wise men saw the star. What had these elderly temple dwellers seen except the same sight everyone else in Jerusalem saw over and over, day after day? An ordinary family bringing their humble offerings to perform their religious duty. Simeon and Anna recognized Jesus because they expected to see God at work, even in the commonplace events of their poor lives. Looking for God, they were ready to see him when he appeared. There was still an element of mystery in their discovery. Not everyone who was devout and expectant, recognized the Messiah. The Holy Spirit chose to show Simeon and Anna who Jesus was. It was not something they perceived for themselves. Nevertheless, Simeon and Anna were prepared when the Spirit revealed Jesus to them. They'd been waiting for it, and they were ready for that revelation. God's Spirit continues to this day revealing God's presence to those who are open and expectant. I read recently of a woman whose husband had just come out of an operating room after life-threatening surgery. He was in critical condition. Because he was still under the effects of anesthesia, she could not talk with him, and it would be several hours before the doctors had results from the surgery and lab results and knew exactly what the outcome might be. When she left the hospital late in the afternoon, she was anxious, worried, and deeply concerned about what the future held in store. It had been raining that day, but as she drove home, it began to clear up. And in the distance, over a field, she saw a rainbow. It was a breathtaking sight, though not an unusual one following a summer storm. But this was more than a rainbow to her. All of a sudden, she felt absolutely assured that everything would be all right. Something told her that God was with her. She had nothing about which to worry. The rainbow was, for her, a message from God. No one else she talked to later had noticed that rainbow. They were all too busy with other things. But through that common late summer event, she had felt God, the eternal creator of the universe, speaking directly to her. When we expect to see God moving in our lives, we can begin to make sense out of where we have been and where we are going. Knowing that God came among us as a poor baby and entered the lives of people like Simeon and Anna, we can look back over our own lives and find evidence that God has been a part in them. If, like that faithful pair at the temple, we look for God to work in his creation, we can trust that God is always moving through human history, in spite of our greed and our shortcomings, that God is showing himself to whomever will see. We sang earlier, open my eyes that I may see. We need to have open eyes and open ears and open minds. The story of this woman reminds me of a song by John Fisher entitled, Have You Seen Jesus, My Lord? And the lyrics say this. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look. Open your eyes. He'll show it to you. Have you ever looked at the sunset with the sky mellow and red and the clouds suspended like feathers? Then I say, you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you ever stood at the ocean with the white foam at your feet, felt the endless thunder in motion? Then I say, you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you ever looked at the cross with a man hanging in pain and the look of love in his eyes? Then I say, you've seen Jesus, my Lord. As followers of Jesus Christ, we look at things differently than others. We see every event that happens as an arena in which God can work. Paul told his friends in the Colossians to, quote, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When we let Jesus rule in our hearts, we attune ourselves to see God at work in our lives. It's like the old style of tuning in the radio. We don't have to do that anymore with digital tuners. But before that, you know, you had to get it in. Sometimes it'd be, you get a little static there. When you get it on the point, we're attuned to God. We're seeking God. We're looking for God in our everyday lives. Our perspective becomes one of God's perspective. We expect to see God's hand in every part of his world, even that tiny part that we inhabit. When Christ is the one who guides us, we can recognize the Eternal One when he breaks into our lives, just as he did so unobtrusively for Simeon and for Anna. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that we might be like Simeon and Anna, with hearts and minds and eyes and ears open, seeking you, reading your word, but also then putting that into practice and looking for your presence among us. Lord, forgive us when we discount something as commonplace or circumstance and do not give you the credit. For Lord, we pray that your Spirit will move in among us, that we may be receptive to that, and that when we see that we may share that recognition with others, that they too may come to recognize you in their lives. Lord, the joy that Simeon and Anna had that day, we pray that we too may have that joy, and that joy that we may reflect to others, especially those who are hurting and need to hear a word of comfort, a word of peace, and a word of joy. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
A closing hymn this morning is "Oh, How I Love Jesus," number 137. Ages, the God of this morning, and the God of the future, continue to bless us as we speak the truth, show the faith, and share the love. The God of peace is with us now and forever. Amen.